This is the English service of Ukrainian radio.
This is the English service of Ukrainian radio. Next in line is the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The beginning of the current week saw the rise of violence in Ukraine's east. According to the Counter-Terrorism Operation Presenter, pro-Russian separatists more often resort to heavy weaponry, particularly tanks, prohibited by the Minsk agreements. The Luhansk direction was the epicenter of their attacks, though there were numerous shellings and skirmishes in the Donetsk direction too. Ukraine's pro-government forces repelled the attacks of pro-Russian hirelings near Avdiivka and at the Svitlodarsk Bulge, Donetsk region. In the village of Mayorsky, separatists shelled a private house of a local civilian. Fortunately, no one was injured. It was also informed that illegal armed groups keep establishing mine barriers around their fortifications. Ukrainian field engineers clearing these minefields say the mines bear the markings of Russian military plants. The preparation to the prisoners' swap is going on. The Ukrainian side is ready to exchange militants imprisoned in Ukraine for 74 Ukrainian citizens held captive by separatists. Irina Heraschenko, Ukrainian presidential envoy on the situation in Donbas, said.
Ми маємо пройти юридичну всю процедуру для того, щоб передати іншій стороні цих 306 осіб, які здійснили злочини проти держави України.
We have to observe the necessary procedures to hand over to separatists 306 militants who committed crimes against Ukraine but didn't carry out any grave offenses like murder. We want to exchange them to 74 Ukrainian citizens who remained in the hands of separatists for years. We also negotiate another round of prisoners' swap within the framework of the Trilateral Contact Group on the settlement of the situation in Donbas. These 74 Ukrainians we want to be freed from captivity are obviously not all hostages kept by Russian mercenaries, said Irina Heraschenko. Meanwhile, investigative search networks Bellingcat and The Insider said they have identified a Russian Armed Forces Colonel General as a key figure sought by a Dutch-led criminal probe into the downing of the Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 in eastern Ukraine in 2014. The 298 victims of the fatal crash over territory held by pro-Russian separatists fighting Ukrainian government forces included 196 Dutch citizens. The victims came from 17 countries. Dutch investigators concluded in 2015 that the plane was brought down by a Russian-made ground-to-air rocket. Bellingcat said its probe had, to a high degree of certainty, identified the military man who played an important role in the downing of the flight as Colonel General Nikolai Tkachev, the chief inspector of the Central Military District of the Russian Federation. However, his exact role in the accident is unclear.
You are listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
More than 1,200 incidents involving crimes allegedly committed since 20th February 2014 in eastern Ukraine have been recorded by the Office of the Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court in The Hague. ICC Prosecutor Fatou Bensouda has said this in a report on preliminary examination published on 4th of December. More than 10,000 people have been killed and 25,000 injured, including civilians, since the start of the conflict. Most civilian deaths resulted from the shelling of populated areas in both government-controlled territory and areas controlled by armed groups, with smaller numbers allegedly killed or injured by firearms. In the course of the conflict, hundreds of civilian objects, including residential properties, schools and kindergartens, have allegedly been destroyed or damaged, largely by shelling in both government-controlled territory and areas controlled by armed groups. In some cases, it is alleged that the shelling of such objects was deliberate. Beatings, electric shocks and other forms of physical abuse, as well as mock executions and other threats causing severe psychological trauma, were allegedly inflicted on civilians in the region. Official statistics also suggests that more than 15,000 persons have been reported as missing in the conflict zone since April 2014. Addressing the Assembly of States Parties to the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court, United Nations Secretary-General Antonio Guterres said the following.
The International Criminal Court is the central institution of the international criminal justice system, a fundamental pillar for the rule of law in the world. It has helped investigate and secure convictions in important cases, such as the use of child soldiers or of sexual violence as a tactic of war, and also attacks on cultural property.
Antonio Guterres.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary. On the 7th of December, the Ukrainian Parliament passed a law on prevention and counteraction to domestic violence. The law is aimed at harmonizing the current legislation in the area of combating domestic violence and violence against women with the European standards and prepares the basis to ratify the Istanbul Convention. Its adoption also involves the establishment of a unified state register of domestic violence and gender-based violence. The Istanbul Convention, which was adopted by the member states of the Council of Europe in 2011, became the first legally binding instrument in Europe with an integrated approach to combating violence against women. Ukraine signed the Istanbul Convention on the 7th of November 2011, but has not ratified it yet. The first Women's Congress was held in Kyiv on the 22nd-23rd of November at the stage of preparation of the law on counteraction to domestic violence. The issues of equality between women and men in various spheres, participation in politics, the Istanbul Convention, security, education and etc. were discussed during the Congress. Maria Ionova, MP of the Verkhovna Rada, commented on the event.
Було варто послухати з усіх регіонів, усі рівні, це і депутатки, і депутати із виконавчої влади дуже багато.
There were speeches by female representatives from all regions, of all levels, both deputies and gender advisors from the regions, both the executive and the public sector. It was a section of society that wanted to convey this idea. In one speech, our colleague from Poland emphasized that this is the first compulsory step, because a woman needs to strengthen her voice. At every discussion panel, there were ideas that women are professional and strong, but somehow they are afraid to promote themselves and apply for a certain position. But I would like to say the most important thing. Facebook was full of phrases like domination, absorption. I want to dispel this stereotype. It is extremely important for us that among the speakers were men who occupy high positions, said Maria Ionova. In addition, on the 6th of December, Ukraine's Cabinet of Ministers announced the election of a governmental representative on gender policy. Katerina Levchenko, head of the public organization La Strada, was elected for the position. The role of the representative will be to facilitate the implementation of the state policy of achieving equal rights and opportunities for women and men, preparation of proposals and state reports, monitoring and cooperation with civil society.
You're listening to the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The film Cyborgs by Ukrainian filmmaker hit cinemas across the country. Based on true events, the film takes a closer look at one of the key battles between Ukrainian troops and Russian hybrid forces in Donbass, the battle for the Donetsk airport that lasted 242 days. The airport was strategically and symbolically important for both sides. It served as the last remaining Ukrainian foothold in the city of Donetsk, while also preventing Russia from resupplying its proxy forces via air. The Ukrainian forces' defense of the airport has earned them hero status among many. Even their enemies called them cyborgs, seemingly superhuman, indestructible half-man, half-machines. The airport itself has become a symbol of resistance, film director Ahtem Seitablaev comments. It was impossible not to show the moment when the new Ukrainian nation is born. When you look into the eyes of the soldiers who defended the airport and listen to their stories, you sometimes can't believe that a human being can survive such ordeals. The film is a military drama with numerous battle scenes. However, it's a film about peace, not war, the peace that arises amidst war, said Ahtem Seitablaev. The airport became one of the first hotspots in the Ukrainian conflict after the Ukrainian military took back control of the airport from Russian-backed separatists in May 2014. Over the course of battles, the airport complex suffered extensive damage from constant bombardments and change of hand between pro-government and rebel forces. The main terminal buildings, with their sturdy concrete construction, served as garrisons and shelters for soldiers defending the airport grounds, and as a result, the buildings would be subjected to attacks and suffer extensive structural failures, most notably with the collapse of the massive roof over the new terminal building's mezzanine. Similarly, the control tower was contested by opposing forces due to its strategic lookout point, but eventually collapsed in January 2015.
You're listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week. The artistic exhibition about dreamers who wanted to change the world kicked off in the Art Arsenal in Kyiv on the 7th of December. The event, called Boitrukism, Project of a Great Style, collected more than 300 pictorial, graphic, and mosaic works of artists that were a part of the artistic circle of Boychuk and were later generalized under this name into a specific style of monumental painting. Among the names who got into the history of world art as representatives of the Ukrainian avant-garde in painting, Mykhailo and Timofey Boychuk, Sofia Nalepinska, Vasily Sedlar, Oksana Pavlenko, Ivan Padalka, Antonina Ivanova and others. In an interview with the Ukrainian radio, Olga Melnik, member of the curator team, commented on a large-scale project open to the public in Kyiv. Boychukism is a unique phenomenon in the history of both Ukrainian and European art, which in France is called the rebirth of Byzantine art. In Ukraine, experts call it as Ukrainian monumentalism or just Boychukism. The title of this artistic direction comes from the name of Mykhailo Boychuk, legendary Ukrainian artist. And today, people can see in the art arsenal the survived things belonging to Mykhailo Boychuk, even though of a small size, but extremely strong in emotional and compositional way. Our biggest challenge at the time of this exhibition is to recreate a monumental painting, which Boychukism is famous for, and we have tried to do it by already modern means, said Olga Melnik.
This project is about art reformers who abandoned the traditional format, about the creators of Utopia who themselves became its victims, reads the curatorial text accompanying the exhibition. The scenic style of Boychukist is characterized with collective creativity instead of individual, returning to the historical heritage instead of its negation, tempera instead of oil paint, and so on. And with that we end the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukrainian Radio, English Service.